Five Lives Rugby Union Daily.
That's great to see you.
The better start. Okay. That. It's Rugby Union Daily. It's Cup.
Oh, you want me to do that? You want me to do that bit?
Yeah,
get it in.
Let's start the pod. Okay. You're a co-host.
Oh, this is the start. So
you're not England's number nine.
No, we're not doing it. Yeah.
You're a co-host.
Perfect. Boys, it's Calcutta Cup Week. We're here at Peniel Park. You've come to join me, and I brought you gifts. I brought you some wings and some tater tots.
They're good, aren't they?
Decent.
Really decent.
The completely forgot what they're called.
Potatoes.
Not the wings. Not the wings, the other one.
Chicken strips.
The chicken strips are better than the wings.
You forgot the word for chicken.
No. Wing.
Strip. Strip.
Right. I
forgot the word strip. God.
Okay.
Yeah. They were good anyway.
It's Rugby Union Daily. We're in the England camp. Ash is here.
Hello.
Daddy's here.
Hello.
Who we got coming up, Ashy? A couple of old friends. I was going to say a couple of old friends of yours, but everyone's an old friend of yours around this place, aren't they?
I'm just thinking whether I class one as a friend or not. Yeah, I could.
Okay. You want a
I'm not going to tell you which
you want
one,
a premiership title with someone. That's got to be that kind of...
Both of them, really.
Both of them, yeah.
But only one of them is a friend.
Well, I'm going to leave that hanging.
Nice. We'll see how the pod develops, shall we? But Kevin Sinfield's coming up. Ollie Chesham coming up on the pod.
Mm-hmm.
Be great to hear from those two. And Danny's here in Calcutta Cup week, bearing gifts. And you'll have a gift of your own this weekend, the number nine shirt.
We shall see, Jersey, when selection is announced. Yep. We sit here on Tuesday. It's coming out Wednesday.
I always do it for the morning the pod's out. No one realistically thinks we recorded at 5 a.m. They must know it's done the day before published
Committed. It might be commitment though, wouldn't it?
It's the next step. But it's going out Wednesday morning.
Okay.
Speaking Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, so teams announced Thursday and I'm desperate to be out there and to get up to Scotland. One of the great games, all the history. What a brilliant place to go and play against a brilliant team full of superstars, so we can't wait to get up there.
Because Jonesy had a week off last week.
It was Tenerife.
So he did absolutely naff all. We just need to catch up.
No,
on
I
what
had
happened.
You texting me wanting to know your schedule, making sure you've got enough time off in Edinburgh. I didn't just ignore you because you could be quite needy at the time.
But it's good that you got some time off. So we need to catch up more.
70th,
what you did last week, some time off, training, saw the open training session, looked good.
Yeah, it was amazing. We had 10,000 people came to watch at Twickenham, which was awesome. And I think what was great is after the games, you want to go around and see fans and sign autographs and stuff, but you don't generally have enough time. But we had time to spend it with people that really wanted to come and meet us, and it was cool to train in front of 10,000 people. We did that weekend off, met up on Sunday, and there's no bigger week than this.
What
week.
Did you work on last week in the time that you had?
In training
as a team? Yeah, what was the focus?
We've been focusing on probably little bits of our attack. I think it was scrum week, apparently. It was like the scrums, I still don't know what they do in there, but mm-hmm. It was a big focus on getting to our next level with our scrum, which obviously is already very dominant, but also attacking off scrums and how we can be a little bit more lethal, hopefully, off our strike plays. And we're always trying to sharpen up our attack, looking at ways where we can develop. Missed a few opportunities, we think, against Wales to potentially score a couple more tries. So we want to improve on that and start in on Saturday.
So you had a few days at home last week.
Did.
So that's an interesting decision for the coaches, particularly for Steve Borthwick, because post-Italy, he was saying you haven't had many training sessions together. And then when you do have a fallow week, the temptation may have been, right, let's just hammer the training field time and time again to build that cohesion. But also, you've spoken candidly to me publicly and privately about, look, 5 months away from home, back into camp in January, Feb, it's a lot. So Steve's obviously taken that call to prioritise getting you guys at home, see the family mentally refreshed, rather than hammering drills on the training pitch. Because that must have been something a lot of coaches would go, yeah, let's do the latter.
Yeah, I think that's something that Steve's been brilliant at. I'm sure he was the same at Leicester, actually. I think the fact that he says it a lot, he says, I've been in your shoes, I know how some things I didn't like. And one thing, his big thing is when we're on, but when we're off, you're off. And his big thing is prioritise your family and prioritise your off time. And like you said, the World Cup was a long time away. Six Nations came around quite quickly. But I think the beauty of that fallow week is the fallow week, sorry, you get the opportunity to rest and recover, which sometimes is as important as an extra hour on a training field. And for us, you get to switch on and off. When we're in, we're on and we're very intense. But when we're off, we are fully switch off mode, get your body right. Because you know what they're like, two games in a row is tough. And, you know, in the Six Nations, you get that week to rest and recover, but also work on the things like we wanted to do. So for me, Steve gets the balance perfectly of when we're training, we're full on, we're going for it. But when we need some time, you get home, you forget about rugby and look after the kids.
When was the Wales game done? In the week? In the fallow week?
When was it done?
Yeah, when was it like cut off and forgot about earlier last week?
We would have rounded that off. Obviously finished the game Saturday, rounded it off.
You had a few days off, didn't you?
We had a couple of days off, so yeah, come in on Wednesday, okay, do our review, learn the bits we need to
better at. Feel about the game?
Obviously a lot was thrown at us in that first half. Discipline, I think we set a target of trying not to give anyone more than 7 penalties away. Mm. We gave away 6 in the first half, but managed to only give 1 in the second, so we managed to wrestle back a bit of momentum. I think we were proud of the way that the lads dug in and adapted, and I think someone said England haven't turned a deficit of 9 points or more for ever in the Six Nations or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
home?
I think it was in Argentina 2002.
Yeah.
It was the last time. And yeah, so it doesn't happen often.
Yeah, and things we talk about, I think what we were pleased with is I think we found a way to win that game, found a way to get back in, probably went back to a bit of a contestable kicking game, which yeah. We got some payoff, which then gave us field position. We're disappointed we didn't score a couple of tries, and there were a couple of opportunities that, if we were a little bit slicker, the scoreline could have been even better for us. But we found a way to wrestle back the momentum, win that game. But we know there's loads of layers we want to add to our game that hopefully we'll see on Saturday.
That's a recurring theme, isn't it? The execution. I think Ross Petty's got some great stats about England are, I think, just under 2 points per 22 entry. You're averaging around just under two tries over the last year and a bit. How do you?
It just felt like there was a lot of errors, especially in the first half as well.
Yeah, I think we were getting into the. You're exactly right. We were getting into the point zone, but not coming away with points. And I thought the lads actually started that game brilliantly. When you go back to it, we just did everything but score a try.
But another team won't let you get away with only getting a handful of points.
No, and when we realise away in Scotland against a team full of confidence and full of magic that, you know, they're going to test us. So when we do get our opportunities to score, we have to be more clinical. We know that. We have to be more ruthless. To win big games internationally, you have to take points when you're down there. So, yeah, we're going to need to do that this week.
And a different game plan for Scotland?
Different, but similar. You want to see similar traits and what we're trying to build. Still want to be a really tough team to beat. That our defence is still going to be aggressive and in your face, which is what Felix wants us to do.
Dangerous against Finn Russell. Get it wrong.
Yeah, that's why, you know, he's a massive, massive weapon for them, massive threat. We absolutely respect the brilliance of Finn. But we, you know, as any team, you always say put the 9 and 10 under pressure, try and take their time and space away. If we can do that right, then hopefully we will. But in the past few fixtures, we've talked about a lot of England versus Scotland. They've had a lot of thunderbolts, tries from nowhere almost, and we got to stop them. Got to stop them from happening, and that's down to our defence, but also, you know, playing smart.
There's not many lads. Do we know how many lads have played up in Murrayfield?
There's a handful. How many have won is a different matter. I've got the team up from.
It's a difficult place to go and play, isn't it?
2022,
and I thought you can't like explain that to somebody until you actually get there and get under the atmosphere. It's just. I remember even playing European Cup or whatever it is up there. It's just. It was like empty, and then you get up there, England, Scotland, and it's like war zone.
Yeah. So you think you're prepared for it because you played Edinburgh in a 2000 or whatever, knocking about.
Why? Just because you played in the stadium or whatever, you might think you've got a little bit of a feel for it, but it's so different going up there playing Scotland. It's just what an atmosphere, but it's very hostile, isn't it?
It is, and we've talked about it. For me, can't wait to experience that again from obviously not playing in this tournament for quite a while now. It's been a while, so I'm probably as excited as the lads doing it for the first time. But whenever you go there, you get off the bus, you feel how passionate their fans are. You feel that hostility, but I think it's in the right nature. Do you know what I mean? It's as close, I think, to almost, I think the footballers feel when they get off a bus, and it's different. It is different when you go out there, but I love it. I can't wait for that. I think they always put
it like 5 o'clock so the Scots get really hammered.
Yeah.
I feel like it's always a
there was some Celtic Rangers games always at about 9 in the morning. So
right.
I think they're probably, you know.
The Six Nations, England is always later. Same as the Ireland games, always later.
But you'd have, you know, just looking 10, depending on selection, roughly 10 of the 23 would have been there 2 years ago when you lost. Danny, you would have, all through your England career, you know, you debuted, 08 summer, but you'd have been involved 10, 12, 14, 16 routine wins, then it all sort of turned in 18. And it's going to be your first time back at Murrayfield since then. So will you be starting the scraps in the tunnel this time?
With the Surrey boy, Ryan Wilson. Yeah, no. No, there will be no scrapping in the tunnel. I can't wait to get up there and feel that atmosphere. It's why I never gave up on trying to play for England, to come and play games like this. This is what I think, speaking to Steve, you know, this is probably my last chance to play up at Murrayfield. So,
I mean, you never know. I've been retiring for the last few years.
I know.
Come on, man, 39.
You never know, CJ. But
about 150 caps by then.
So for me, I'm like a kid in a candy shop again. Just can't wait to experience it, to represent England up there, with all the history that there is in the game. And over the last few years, Scotland have got that cup.
You spoken about that?
Yeah, we talked about it.
That it's been, 3 in a row, and seldom happens.
Exactly. So we need to turn that tide. We need to stop the tide, and we need to wrestle that back. And we've got a pretty good idea of hopefully how we can try and go about it. But as I said, massively respectful of the team they are, the coaches they've got, the players they've got, and their ambition to play with the ball. It's exciting to watch, and it's up to us to try and nullify that threat, but also attack them as well.
This game's got an interesting dynamic because you're England 2-2 and Scotland losing that game against France, England coming up to Murrayfield. I don't know who's mentally got the momentum with them. I know it's England because they won 2-2, but Scotland got a really good team at the minute, but they just lost. And
we chatted on the Nation Pod.
Think they should have won.
But is that grievance a good or, you know, Tom English made the point, all sporting teams love grievance, but will a part of Scotland feel still a bit aggrieved? I agree with you. It's difficult to get a handle on the psychology. So psychologically, it must have been a lot of focus this week.
Really confident. Got 2-2. It's a better place to be than obviously 1-1, lost 1.
Yeah.
You're going up there with less pressure, I guess.
I mean, obviously, if you're a Scottish fan or a player, you look at what happened last week and you do feel aggrieved that they could be sat there 2-2. We can only obviously control what we've done. We are 2-2, but we know we're going to have to be a lot better than we have been the first 2 weeks. That's for sure. So we still believe that we've got a big performance in us. We need it to come out on Saturday.
We need 3.
We can do with 3, but we're just thinking of the first one, CJ. So you can never look further ahead than the game in front of you. You know that, especially when you're playing against a team like Scotland.
Unless you're on 99 caps.
A player like Finn. No, I'm just, mate.
That's even more so you can't look to next week.
Myself and Coley, we laugh about it. Everyone goes, oh, you're just taking it game by game. Like, we're taking it day by day, literally, training session by training
hour
session.
Hour by hour.
Hour by hour. So, I cannot wait for this weekend. And obviously, if there was more to come after that, then that'd be amazing.
And just on that, Danny, because, you know, we joked earlier about you maybe getting the number 9 shirt, but in, you know, sad circumstances because Alex Mitchell's been such a big part of this team for the last 6 months plus, and then unfortunate training ground injury. How does it change your approach if you end up starting the game as opposed to being on the bench? Because seismic difference, isn't it, between running out there. Whatever people say about it being a 23-man game, and you play 12 minutes against Wales, you're going to play more than 12 minutes if you start the game. That's got to be a different approach in the week.
Yeah, it's different. It's a different approach. I've obviously done a lot of both. And obviously, we're all gutted for Mitch. Like as you said, he's been brilliant for England. I thought he's taken his opportunity to grab that number nine shirt, and he's done that, and he's been amazing. And yeah, we all wish him speedy recovery. And we miss him as a character as well, because he's a big character in the group. Obviously, with rugby and training, things happen. An opportunity has now come up for myself or Spenno or Harry Randall's come back into the squad. So we're all desperate to get out there in that nine shirt. And if it's me that gets to do it this weekend, then I'll give it my all to try and help the team from the start rather than coming on. So I want to play as many minutes as I can. Like, you never know which minute will be your last. So I want to give it my all and do my best for the team.
And importantly, Ollie Chesham is coming up next. So our sources tell us he is now in charge of the social committee.
He is.
So that must have been, you must feel a lot of responsibility to nurture him through what's a very important role.
It really is. I think he said in the week, it's probably the biggest honour he's had in his life. So,
poor lad.
Yeah. Tough paper around that kid.
Involved in social sex?
So it's him, Freddie Stewart, Sam Underhill, and it was Mitch, but bless him, Mitch is... And apparently Mitch wasn't doing much anyway, so the lads, he's not a huge loss on that side. But just put on events, make sure the lads know, you know, the coffee spots or what's going on at lunch or whatever. Okay. They did obviously the talent show in Girona, which was amazing. Some of the lads are talented. There's a talented bunch. Obviously myself and Jamie set a very high standard for years. You know, Ant and Deck, as we talked about, we've stepped up to board level now. We're watching them, but really proud of the strides that they're making in the game.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Good to see you, mate.
Good to see you, boys.
Grab your VIP pass. We're delving into the secretive world of Formula One. Formula One. Behind the scenes with two of the sport's biggest names, Mercedes and Williams.
This is not coal mining, this is Formula One motor racing.
As they build their new cars.
We want to be so much further ahead.
And face shocking headlines.
Here's Lewis Hamilton moving away from Mercedes.
I'm Joseph Fiennes, and from BBC Radio 5 Live, this is F1, back at base. Listen on BBC Sounds.
It'd be funny to see whether the weather plays a part too this weekend. Because they've had two games, they've been good weather, relatively mild weather, they're just conditioned to playing rugby a little bit more. Away in Italy, nice weather against Italy, and then at home, Wales, was a dry day, both teams threw it around, give it a good go. Up in Scotland, Saturday night, it's going to be cold.
It's going to be different. It has to be...
I mean, it's going to be like 1-2 degrees.
2018, there was some lovely rugby played. 2020, do you remember that as an outlier?
Yeah.
That storm. No one could get out. The ball was going backwards, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think we'll get that.
In the hog when he dropped the ball, he couldn't control the ball.
Yeah, and then Genge scored at the end to nick it for England. That was their last win at Murrayfield. That's been in between the Magic game in 2018 from Finn Russell and Hugh Jones and everyone. And then 2022 was another good Scotland win. They scored that cheeky Ben White try when they went quick at the line out.
It does have
and the Luke Cowan-Dickie knockdown. So they've actually been really good spectacles. But the weather at Murrayfield.
When you're playing.
May well be a factor, of course.
And training. And like we're sat here now outside Penny Hill. It's nice weather. It's relatively 10, 11 degrees outside. You're out there enjoying training, throwing the ball around. And then bang, you get to Saturday night. You're like, whoa. We haven't been in this for 2 weeks or so. You've got to adjust quickly.
So do you find a lot of your best laid plans go to waste quite quickly?
I think for your mental hope of how the game is going to be and look.
It's always different.
You get there on the game day and you're like, oh, 2 weeks I've had at this and nice weather, feel good training. And I think Saturday's not going to be like that.
Well, it's good. Look, we chatted about this a bit on the Nations pod. Scotland have been kicking a lot of board at the moment. I think post the World Cup, Gregor Townsend, the coaches, have had a bit of an epiphany that you can't play side to side. I wonder if that the start of that Ireland game made them think, look, if there's a really strong defence that we can't break through, let's go to the boot a bit more. So they've been kicking a bit longer, haven't they? They've been kicking a bit more. Mm. England are a good contestable kicking side. So it's going to be a tactical game of chess, and it could be a lot of boot on ball, but it could be incredibly intriguing as well, a gripping, kind of compelling tactical arm wrestle between two really canny coaches and two really canny tens in Finn Russell and George Ford, not to mention the nines.
The other area is Scotland have lost both nearly lost both games and have lost one game in the last 20 minutes, whereas England have done a job in each of them, won their games in the last 20 minutes.
Is that the bench?
I think it's the bench and how good they've been coming off and adding ball carriers and scrum doing a job. I think, but that might change. Danny might go to starting, so that takes that experience off the bench. I think for Scotland, that's an area that they'll be like, we need to be better.
Yeah, and I think with the reinforcements that have come back in, I know there was a question over Matt Fagerson, but we know that Magnus Bradbury's, an international quality eight. Blair Kinghorn's back in, mm-hmm. So there'll be another body on the bench.
So, a bit of experience.
And then England, Ollie Lawrence comes back in, potentially, even though they've lost Mitchell.
George
Martin's coming back. So I think both teams will be pretty bolstered, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if both Borthwick and Townsend come their selections, go, yeah, we need power, experience.
From the off.
From the off and in the final 20, how do you sort of get that balance in your 23?
Yes, so next we've got with us Ollie Chesham, who's sat in the hot seat. Good to see you, love. How are you?
Yeah, good to see you too, mate. You're looking sharp.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
One thing first I want to ask you about is Michelle. I want to get straight in there with you, Mum. I've seen her at every game so far, I think. I've seen her that you've played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly for...
She used to come in the changing rooms at Leicester.
Really?
That is true. Yeah, you brought Newcastle away. I've not let her live it down. She did a catwalk.
Sorry. Do mums normally come in the changing rooms?
No, so Steve brought the dads in at Claremont away, I think we played.
Yeah.
So they travel a long way. And then mine and Cam Henderson's mum were at the game together. And it was Cam Henderson's first game back. So they were like, before the lads obviously all get changed, you can come in. But my mum had been on the steam all day, I think. So she got welcomed in by Steve and she did catwalk the length of the change room. Obviously, the likes of Ashley and that lot loved it.
I mean, you couldn't believe it. Look, you're like, could you actually? It's on Christmas Day. What are the young lads bringing their mums into the changing room?
But she is everywhere, very dedicated mum.
I can't thank her enough for what she does for me and my brother in terms of travelling around. I think the only games for England that she'd have missed are the ones where we played in the Australia tour a couple of years ago now, or a year and a half ago. Other than that, she's travelled up and down. She did 7 weeks on the bounce in France for the World Cup,
she couldn't follow you through the 20s because you were rubbish then.
Well, I didn't play 20s, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't get picked for that. You were rubbish,
But that's awesome about your mum. What a star. And that, jokes aside, that must mean so much to players when you look at the sideline. And I know for any of our listeners listening and who would have played amateur club school, it means a lot.
Yeah, her and my youngest brother Dylan, they go everywhere together watching the rugby. Obviously the middle brother Lewis is obviously got his own rugby commitments in terms of he's at Tigers and he was playing England 20s as captain last year, so obviously he can't always be there, but if they're not watching me, they're watching Lewis. But they go all over the place and it's not always easy for mum, obviously with work commitments, and same with Dylan, he's going into his GCSEs and what have you. So they sacrifice a lot to be able to come out and watch us, but it means, so much to be able to look in. The big one lads always say is the anthem. When you're singing the anthem, a lot of lads don't want to look for their family. For me, it's like I just try and spot them, and 99% of the time, my mum and brother are there, and it's such a big thing as a player just to know it's probably the one thing that stays the same throughout the whole of your career, from when you're playing at your local club to playing internationally, is that your parents are there watching you, and that's the one thing that doesn't change. So it's great to have them.
Gives you a lift when you spot them in the anthem.
Yeah, of course. You see, they love it. The walk in, actually, you've done it a few times. The walk in at Twickenham is such a good experience, isn't it? When you get off the bus and they're the first people I see as I walk through the gates, and it just settles you a little bit, I think, knowing that they're there. No matter what anyone else thinks with regards to your performance, if your family are there, no matter what the score is, how you played, they're always going to
I think if you win on Saturday in Murrayfield, Steve should definitely have Michelle.
Well, catwalk again. Well, she will. I don't know if she's going up with my brother this time, because she did Italy away the week with her girl mates,
right?
Because Dylan couldn't come, he had mock exams and stuff. So, and obviously that would have been a drinking weekend. I'm hoping that Scotland's a sober weekend. So even if she does come in the change room, she's far better.
Right. So let's go back to the 20s situation. Right, you were rubbish then.
Yeah.
Why is that? Where were you playing then?
Well, I was at Nottingham then.
Okay.
Were you rubbish or just overlooked?
I'd like to say I'm overlooked, but I know what it is. I was still at Nottingham. Obviously, I think I'd say the 20s pathway probably favours Premiership clubs. I think I could go out there and say that. I can't imagine there's many lads from Championship clubs, certainly not now that a lot of them are part-time, that play in the 20s programme. But I was fortunate enough that when I was at Nottingham, it was still a full-time environment. So I was, Neil Fowkes actually, who's my coach now at Leicester, or the development coach at Leicester, he was my head coach, and I just got pulled in. Codders was the forwards coach, and he's been here today, so it's been quite good to catch up with him. But I didn't actually...
Codders, Alex Codlin.
Yeah, I didn't actually get to play a game for 20s. I played Pirates away on the Sunday night of the week of the Wales game and took a knock to my ankle, which was I was fine with, but Barney wouldn't let me train in the week. Never let him go. I'll never let it live it down. But
your route through?
My route from there was, obviously, like I said, didn't play 20s, but was at Nottingham. And then COVID cut the season short, didn't it, that year, February. Yeah. I think everything pretty much shut down end of February, March. Because I was due to play the 20s actually against Italy away, but that was the trip, got canned in it. Same for the seniors that year. But I just signed for Leicester, like literally just before COVID hit. They'd obviously been keeping close tabs on me because I did little bits and bobs with their academy, but in and out as trials. But they kept close tabs on me and signed me just before COVID hit. And then obviously came out of COVID. Steve had just started as head coach at
So it was
Leicester.
Good timing then.
Yeah, I got lucky because
Is that why you were so emotional when Steve left then?
Why are you going to go with this then?
Well, it's a strong connection though, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I've
got you in there.
Yeah, I've Steve
got you all there. Starting, but got you here.
Yeah, my whole
got your premiership.
Year,
yeah. There's a lot in it.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. But yeah, other than that year at Nottingham, Steve has been, you know, been there my whole senior career, which is, you know, pretty cool. It's been, you know, he's such a good person to learn off, especially for my position being a second row. So, I suppose that's why everyone was pretty gutted when he left. It was a very emotional changing room that day, actually.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
But you'd have known he was going to England. So you would have known.
Really.
No, was that not clear?
No, it wasn't clear. I think we all knew, everyone would agree, we think Steve deserved it without a doubt, but it was never obviously, you know, saw in the media was pretty much what we saw as players. So it was very, I think it was emotional for everyone, for Steve and for the players. We just won a game against Claremont and he'd obviously been given this opportunity and, you know, he had to take it without a doubt, but obviously it meant he had to finish coaching at Leicester. And I think, you know, he was obviously very upset by that. And there was a lot of lads that we'd just won a premiership the year before. And obviously for us young lads, like he'd done so much for us at the club, to then not knowing whether you'd work with him, in the same way. You know, there's a lot of lads that obviously everyone wants to play international rugby, but not everyone gets there. So it was pretty emotional change room. I remember it after Claremont at home, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was around Christmas time. And you're not playing the 20s. There's a lot of talk at the moment about the pathway, and Conor O'Shea's spoken recently about trying to keep that link between the 20s into the A team onto the seniors, so it's not kind of like a block, and then people struggle with that leap up, which all makes sense. But do you think in a way you playing club rugby, regular club rugby, second tier rugby, was more beneficial than being in a Premiership academy playing the odd 20s game but not having those miles on the clock?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think the closest thing you get to international men's rugby is to be playing, you know, Premiership rugby and playing in European competitions. And that would have been 21-22. Was that the year we won it? That was a big breakthrough year for a lot of us young lads at Leicester, for sure. Just because it was the first year where week in, week out, we were playing men's rugby, and that's, you know, that's what you need. You need exposure to that. It's all right playing 20s, which is great, don't get me wrong, and it's such a good pathway, and, you know, to be able to play England 20s and represent your country that age, but you're not playing against proper men.
Obviously, which you would have done in Nottingham, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
I
had in the Championship, but... you know, you definitely need that exposure to full-on senior rugby. And, you know, as youngsters at Leicester got that in abundance that year, which I think is, you know, the reason that some of us have gone on to play international.
I know you found it here then. I mean, how many caps you on now?
Last week was my 20th.
Right, yeah. Nick. It's gone quick.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Nice. Flying into it. How have you found the level, because it seems like you're just being a workhorse at it. It doesn't matter what level at, mate. You just keep stepping up to being another workhorse a little bit more.
Yeah.
You've enjoyed it. Have you noticed the big difference, big step up in it? Or you've just got on with your gig?
I think, it goes without saying that international training camps are so much more intense. Actually, you've been in them, like they are full on, and the standard is that bit better because everyone is so good. You know, there's. But what is, I suppose, the good thing for me is that it is, you know, Steve is the head coach, and you know a lot of what he expected of me as a player at Leicester and is very similar to what he expects of me here in terms of work rate, what he wants from you off the field in training and on the field in matches. But then what's also been good is like having Felix come in. It's a bit of, you know, a bit of a change for us. Someone who I've not worked with previously, he wants to install this new kind of system, which has been great in terms of getting to learn that and go out and practice that. But in terms of me having that continuity through, like continuation, sorry, from, you know, with Steve and, you know, Wiggy, Kev, Tom Harrison, the coaches, it's made it, you know, that transition probably a little bit smoother and easier for me, which has been good.
And Murrayfield, you've not played there?
No, I went as travelling reserve last time, yeah.
So you've got, so that must have helped understand the place and everything, although no substitute for being between the white lines.
Yeah, in terms of knowing what to expect on match day, obviously getting off the bus is a big, you know, it's a big occasion for them. Obviously the bagpipes leading you in and what have you and all the people on the stairs, and obviously it's probably that extra bit more hostile with England going there. But yeah, in terms of that sort of stuff, I know what to expect. And then obviously I played against Scotland last year when we lost them at home in the first round of the Six Nations. So I'm yet to beat Scotland and yet to play at Murrayfield. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this opportunity this weekend if we get to play. So,
is there a feeling in the group that you owe them one, given they've won the last three?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the same with anyone who's beaten you in the past. You want to get one back. But, you know, equally with them, they'll be, you know, chomping at the bit to beat us. And, you know, over the last few years, they've had our number. So, you know, their favourites and rightly so, but we, you know, we believe in ourselves in terms of going up there and getting a win.
In other news,
go on.
All right.
Yes,
we hear you're, I don't know how, man. I don't know how you qualify for this. It's head of social. How'd you get that kick?
Because I'm good crack, mate.
Is that right?
Yeah,
that
you
right?
Just didn't.
He's good crack when you're not there. Yeah, to keep him down.
You, no,
yeah.
You just used to bully me, mate.
Like
yeah.
I don't rely on that.
The young lads can come out of their shell when you're not around.
Yeah. No, we had a good relationship, didn't we, Ash? Yeah. We found common ground in the fact that we were only two blokes in the change room that needed sun cream in March. So. but no, obviously, Jinxie's gone and got himself promoted, so he can't do it anymore.
Did you nominate yourself?
No, I didn't.
Right.
And...
yeah.
Sorry, Kev. And Dees is doing all the O2 inside line stuff. So he's been promoted there. So we were in the airport on the way to Girona for the training camp for the first week. And Jinx and DC pulled me and Freddie aside and said, you're going to be...
got a tap on the shoulder, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be the new social committee. You, us two, and Sam Underhill and Alex Mitchell. Unders has been great. Mitch has been not so great.
Have you offered much so far?
Yeah, we hosted a talent show.
Hey, Kev.
Hey, Kev.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, mate.
It's his dulcet tones we've got in your chest.
Sorry, mate.
He's trying to tell him how much of a good lad he is.
He's a good lad.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gav.
Yeah.
Me and Fred hosted a talent show in Girona for all the uncapped lads in the squad to sort of show us what talents they've got
right
off the field, which was good fun.
Any you can mention?
Ethan Roots absolutely nailed the Napoleon Dynamite dance.
Did he?
He had it playing in the background, full get up. Absolutely smashed it. Will Muir came out as Luke Littler.
Right.
Basically, he wanted to get the shirt, couldn't. So went and made his own homemade shirt, and like it was unreal. And he threw nine darts. He had nine darts at bull, and if he missed, he was spun a wheel and was going to give one of the team members 100 quid. Nailed it on his sixth dart, I think. So
right,
yeah, lads were mental. But
what was your talent?
I was hosting it, so I didn't have to do one.
Oh, of course, well stepped.
Yeah,
well stepped.
What would yours be, Ashley?
What my talent be? I don't know.
Could burn in the shade.
Great stuff, Ollie. Really good to have you on.
No, thank you for having
good luck
me
on the weekend.
Cheers,
thank you very much, mate.
Thanks good
cheers. Cheers, mate.
Okay, Ashley, the Kev who was heckling Ollie Chesham has now joined us. Kevin Sinfield, another old pal of yours from the Leicester days.
Are we pals, Kev?
I'd say so, Ashley, but yeah. I don't know. You're a Wiganer,
delay,
aren't you?
There was a delay on
you're
that.
A Wiganer. Yeah, different, right, you guys.
There's
different, aren't you?
Leeds, Wigan.
A bit odd, aren't you?
No, he's not Leeds.
Strange. I'm not Leeds, I'm Oldham.
Oh, but in terms of the rugby league?
I know, that's what I said, but no, he's Oldham.
Yeah.
I'm Oldham.
Yeah.
But what's the main Super League rivalry between Wigan and St Helens?
Mm-hmm.
Not Leeds.
Not Leeds.
Not Leeds.
No, it's too far.
Too far.
It's Leeds and Cass.
And I weren't heckling either, by the way. I was doing an interview below that. I couldn't hear myself think because Chez was shouting.
I have got a question on that. Actually, I hear Rob and Ed might be doing some sort of cross code type game.
Yeah. Well, I've probably heard a similar rumor to you. I don't know how true that is.
It'd be good if there was
Rob Burrow's
Ed Slater.
Ed Slater.
Yeah, I might do some sort of game up at Headingley.
Oh, wow.
Some combination of both sports.
Like they had with, who did it back in the day? Bath and Wigan, did they?
Yeah.
And then I think it'd
favour a bit more the rugby league style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, be good.
What would you play?
Would I play or where would I play?
Both.
Fly half. I mean, no standoff. No chance. I'd be on the wing, mate. Where would you play?
I'm older than you, aren't I?
Not that much. You look better than me. You're definitely fitter than me.
Yeah. I don't know. It depends what it was.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, it'd be good if something comes of it. Anyway, apart from that, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, I've not seen you for a while.
No, I'm good.
Moving on soon, which is a shame, but...
Oh, thank you. It's been a great job. I've really enjoyed it. Mm. The lads are great. Really enjoyed my time. But yeah, it's the right time for me.
And what about your role in this part of where you've been with England? Changed much, or are you happier taking a bit of a step back and just adding in different ways?
Yeah, it's different.
Mm.
It's enabled me to spend a lot more time with non-23. But I really enjoyed that part of my role anyway, working with guys who have faced a little bit of disappointment around selection time and trying to help put them back together to get them back on the straight and narrow. And then very much a supporting role with Wiggy and Felix, who have both been outstanding in how they've gone about camp for the last month. Obviously, I've known Wiggy for a lot longer and he's done a wonderful job. But yeah, it's slightly different. Still work with the kickers, still work with some skills and work with the backs. But... I've enjoyed it so far. It's different, of course it is, but I think you get an opportunity to put the England badge on and it's very, very special. So I'll make sure I enjoy what's left.
Because I think it was Richard Wigglesworth last week saying that extra body in the coaching team. Because at the World Cup, you were only four of you on the coaching team full-time.
Yeah, we were.
With Alid, obviously, Edda Walters, his role. So you've got a bit more... people now to cover everything, I imagine. Has it made a difference, just having that extra few bodies?
Yeah, very much so. I think we were certainly stretched at the World Cup. We had Andrew Strawbridge with us up until Friday evening when he flew back to New Zealand. So
what was he like?
He'd been great. He's been great. He's one of those blokes with a lot of experience and wisdom, yet he's not ramming it down your throat. He wants to share, he wants to give. He's a nice, caring guy and... he fitted him brilliantly, so we've missed him. He's been outstanding for the month that we worked with him, but it was good too. It was great to work with somebody who's worked with the All Blacks and got a different take on how the game should be played and what it looks like. So we're always learning, aren't we?
On the defence, we were obviously at Leicester together and we had the best defence. In the World Cup just gone, England's defence was, we had a look before, top three, four in the World Cup, points conceded. I wouldn't have said it was something that needed much help with, but there's a whole new style that's come in, more aggressive than what we were doing previously. What are your thoughts on it? And do you think, what's your feel for it all and the reasons for it stepping up?
I think it's probably a question you asked Steve. Other than me. But I would say I love working with Felix. I think he's a very, very good coach. The system is different, albeit similar in so many ways too.
Yeah, okay.
I've enjoyed it. I think, of course, it's different because you're not in charge of it and you always think when you're in control of a system that yours is the best. Which
you have to.
Otherwise you'd change it, wouldn't you? Go a different way. I can see some real improvements in some of the bits we've moved forward. So, Felix has got my full support. He's a good guy, he's a great coach, and you know, hopefully we take another step forward at weekend.
And as a specialist coach, when you are brought in like Felix has been, do you have to be given the license to completely run it your way?
Yeah.
So Steve can't come in and say, right, Felix, this is how we defend. He's got to say, look, you bring your structures.
Absolutely. He's got to bring what he thinks is right. And then as, you know, someone who did the job previously, it's a funny situation to be in. But I feel like I'm humble enough to be able to go, I want to help, I want to support, because ultimately I want England to win. So, you know, my feelings on the role I play are irrelevant. I'll continue to do my best while I'm here, try and help the lads, try and support the coaches, and ultimately I want to win. I want to win, so why would I do anything that won't help us win? So very quickly we started a pretty healthy relationship, and that will continue for a long time. Whether I'm with England or not, I'll keep in touch with Felix.
And just finally on that, Kev, you are you a big planner in life? Like, would you, when you joined England, have gone, right, I'm doing this for 4 years plus 5 years, probably with the whole cycle post the year you had pre the World Cup in 23? Or are you a kind of 6 months by 6 months kind of person? Would you ideally want to have been with England through to the next World Cup?
Well, I was contracted to the next World Cup. I think what happened to me over the last 4 years with Rob Burrow being diagnosed has meant that if I think I need to take some risk and do something different, I'll grab some control, then I'll do that with my life. I think it's important that we're happy, we're fulfilled, it's meaningful for us. But we're not here for a long time, and Rob's given me a whole deal of perspective, so there was never really a long-term plan. There isn't a long-term plan. You know, and I've been asked several times now, what's next? I'm not quite sure yet, but that's what's really exciting about the future, because I'll be able to shape it and make it fit how I want to move my life forward.
You miss it. You miss this place.
Yeah,
you miss
the guys, yeah. Yeah, I miss the players.
Will you stay involved somehow?
I think so. I think so. What I've loved throughout my whole time in rugby union is the players I've worked with have been so keen to improve and be better. Even you, Ashley.
And to a point.
That's been really, really humbling and refreshing and really enjoyable, because when you're in environments like that, like, you realise very quickly, real life ain't like that. Like, people are just happy being what they are and just getting on with life and making the best of what they've got. But actually,
I've noticed that working with Jonesy.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was looking at.
It's different, yeah.
But rugby lads, there's, and you know, those who play for the Red Roses, and yeah, rugby has some special things about it. And I'm sure I'll still be involved somewhere in some small cog somewhere, because rugby people
need to stay attached somewhere. Yeah,
yeah. They stand for things that I'm really passionate about, which is looking after each other and trust and believing in each other and also enjoying each other's company, and they're the best environments.
Pump for Murrayfield?
Yes. I've had a couple of good moments there over the last couple of years with some of the running stuff we've done and my work with Doddy, so I'm looking forward. I'm probably one of only a few that are really looking forward to going up there.
I wonder if they'll actually be nice to you still on Saturday, like they have been.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It'd be interesting to see. But, it's an important game for both countries. I got asked previously whether there'll be some niggle. Yeah, of course there will be. But ultimately, you know, a lot of what they stand for I like. You know, I think you add in the fact that the rugby people, I think there's a lot of similarities between the countries, and certainly the supporters of either country want the best for the team, understand the values that rugby has, and you know, there's a guy who hopefully gets celebrated at weekend who's been pretty special across the borders, both ways with how he's fought MND, and you know, he'll be firmly in my thoughts as well as trying to win the game.
Fantastic. And in terms of how the squad's looking, here we are Tuesday afternoon, injury-wise, if you had guys come back in, George Martin, Ollie Lawrence, Manu Tuilagi, where are all they? Are they all app available for selection? A few things to sort out on that front before Thursday?
Yeah, they're all available, all the ones you've mentioned. You know, we find out on Alex Mitchell this afternoon, he's with a specialist, so we get an understanding of how long that'll be. But other than that, off the top of my head, I think everyone else is, who's been in training, is available.
Mm-hmm. And that is that where you look at a winning team, you won two from two, but also the unique, say, physicality certain people can bring. And as coaches and Steve, you work out when to change a winning team and when someone can come in and make a difference, I imagine.
Yeah, you're always trying to think about how you freshen it up, but understanding that we had a fallow week last week, so we tried to do a lot of that last week. Understand some guys carry some bumps and bruises. Understand you've got some pretty special players are available. Then you understand the continuity we've had. Some guys have earned the spots and should keep the spots. So, like with anything, you know, everybody, you put your all, we'd probably all, the four of us, pick different 23 at this moment in time. The 23 that matters is the one Steve selects. And we'll be fully behind. So what I am pretty excited about is the competition for places, especially in the centres. We've gone from it being an area where we thought we were pretty light, especially at the start of the tournament, to now find ourselves with six good ones. We'll need to play extremely well to take care of Scotland and some of their threats, and especially when Finn Russell's playing like he is.
Great stuff. Well, you've got to run off to a meeting. Brilliant to see you, Kev.
Thank you.
And I'm sure we'll catch up before you leave. But if not, on behalf of all listeners, very best luck with the future.
Thank you very much.
Right, actually, Kevin Sinfield heading off to his meeting.
Super, Kev. You keep missing the...
Well, I felt I was slightly... what's the word? Fraying the edges or overstepping the mark by calling him Kev. I mean, I should stick to the...
Well, like Kevin.
More professional Kevin. Kevin, yeah.
I think you should.
I don't think Kev is a nickname. I'm not calling him Sinny or anything, am I?
Silly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, as journalists, you don't use nicknames really, unless, I suppose.
Super Kevin is fine, I think.
Well, Kevin said, really interesting. I mean, we could have spoken to him for hours.
He's one of those, that's the way he is.
Yeah.
He just starts off and you're like.
And there's such an intensity by the way he talks. And he's going to be now, obviously, you know, he alluding to there, he felt the defence was on the right path. And then the decision's been made to bring Felix Jones in. His role's been moved and he's moving on anyway. So, he's going to be missed from the setup, regardless of where,
for sure,
where he's deployed. You just speak to him, and there's an honesty, there's an intensity, there's a frankness, and you know, a kind of
he was always
an inspirational. It's said a lot, but that you get all that when you speak to him.
Yeah, I played against him when I was younger, and I obviously watched him for many years at rugby league, win all the trophies, and just think, I wonder what he's actually like. So then, when he got to Leicester. Yeah, there was no disappointment from me. I was absolutely gutted when he left, when he went with Steve. I think Kev was like, no one knew Kev was going. That was the biggest surprise. And I remember sending him a long message like, I was genuinely gutted, because the way that he sits here and speaks to us is the way that he would interact with people on a personal level. And just to tell you what, not necessarily what you need to hear, but you just got a good feel about what the way people are feeling and how to handle that situation. So if you weren't picked, like you said, or if you are picked and you need a big up, whatever it is, to have someone around the squad in whatever role he's doing, like Kev, is invaluable. From my experience, and I know the lads that feel the same, he's just one of those characters. As you can see, what he's done for the MND, it is ridiculous.
Mm. And as he said, you know, the plan was to go 4 or 5 years up to 2027. Hasn't worked out like that for one reason or the other. But he often refers back to Rob Burrow because it clearly gives him an ability to contextualise and rationalise things quite comfortably.
Yeah. You know, I'm just thinking of Kev is... his experience with Rob or whatever, he's using in life to make decisions on which way he's going to go. Mine wasn't to the same extreme, but I left places. I don't want to compare it to that at all, but on the basis of if I don't feel it's happy and it doesn't fit right,
yeah,
then I didn't.
Don't waste. Because the flip argument is, you know, make it right, make it work for you. But your stance would have been.
Or you get the people that just go, I'll just get through it. I'll just get through this year and then do that.
You didn't want to be in an environment that wasn't going to get the best out of you and was wasting precious career time or whatever.
I just thought, yeah, it's my life, my career. If it's not working for me, then people can look at it however they want. I need to go and do what I feel is right for me.
Uh-huh. And a quick word on England team selection, actually, because there's some big calls to make, aren't there?
Yeah, in the centres, for sure, as Kev touched on.
Ollie Lawrence, Henry Slade. And that's where they'll go.
I think if you've got one of these freakish centres that we have, you've got to use them. Like we've mentioned already, the bench has been used really well the past two games. Is it bench or is it starting?
Mm. Do you go 6-2 with George Martin coming back in? You've got to use Chandler Cunningham South well off the bench. He's been good. Mm. But I think, if it comes down to Ollie Lawrence or Manny Tuilagi, and as Kevin Sinfield said there, they've both been training. I just think with Lawrence, I just get the vibe that Lawrence is going to be able to come back from his injury fresh, ready to start. Manny might need a bit more time. He's 32. He's been in the wars. So I'd expect Lawrence to start. If one of them is going to start, I expect it to be Lawrence. Don't see both starting. And if Slade's good to go, then I think it's probably Lawrence and Slade in the midfield. That'd be my hunch, and otherwise reasonably unchanged. Maybe tinker with a prop here and there, but you know, some big calls that we'll find out. I think Thursday 3:00 is the mooted time for the England team selection, so we'll wait to see.
Good stuff.
What would you pick quickly? Who would you pick?
Lawrence has Ollie's been so good for Bath this year.
So you'd play him?
The move has like been such a good move for him. He's been in such good form. I just think chuck him in there.
Mm-hmm. And many other changes?
No.
No. Okay. That's the Rugby Union Daily. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers, Ashley.
Thanks, Jonesy.
You sound tired.
Do I?
Tough this media life, isn't it?
No, I'm all good.
You want to go back to playing and training a couple of hours a day, not traipsing up and down the motorway, interviews?
No, I'm good. Thanks, Jonesy. It was great. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. It's more like it. See you in Edinburgh, Ashley.
Cheers.
Pep Guardiola.
A perfectionist.
A tactical genius.
The best manager of his generation.
The best manager in history.
Reserve team coach Pep Guardiola, a popular former player at the Nou Camp, will take over from Rijkaard.
This is a podcast all about the man who has shaped the modern game.
It feels almost as if he's solved the riddle, if he's cracked the code for football.
From his history in La Masia to dominating football across Europe.
He's brought a brand of football to the Premier League that we've never seen before.
Everybody plays like Pep's teams now.
On football, he takes you to heaven.
From BBC Five Life.
Sporting giants, Pep Guardiola.
Listen on BBC Sounds.